If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. What a joy to greet you again today in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't God good? Is it not a wonderful thing that we are privileged to be alive and to be up and to be where God wants us to be on this wonderful day? Here at Worth Baptist Church, we're rejoicing in the good things that God is doing for us. Last Lord's Day was a tremendous day. You'll be glad to know that more than 1,100 people attended our Sunday school to study God's Word together last Sunday. We're looking forward to a wonderful time today. Today, December 19th, is not only Christmas Sunday, but it's Family Day at Worth Baptist Church. We're inviting all the families to come and worship God as a family unit today. More than ever before, we feel that we need to emphasize the togetherness of the family. The devil is doing everything in his power to break down the family unit because no church is any stronger than its families, and in reality, no nation is any stronger than the families that make it up. The family is the basic unit of society, and we emphasize family worship here at Worth Baptist Church. So we invite you and your family to share with us this Christmas Sunday and Family Day here at Worth Baptist Church today. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. The textbook of the Sunday School of Worth Baptist Church is the Bible only. And our motto in the Sunday School is teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday School to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. Yes, we emphasize the family every Lord's Day at Worth Baptist Church, but especially today, our annual Family Day. Bring your family and your friends to study God's Word in the Sunday School hour at 10, and to worship with us in the Sunday morning worship service at 11 and the Sunday evening worship service at 7. It would be our joy to have you and your family visit and worship with us at Worth Baptist Church, located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. You'll be glad to know that progress is being made on our new building at Campus Drive and Loop 820. What a joy it is to see the progress day by day. Soon the walls will be going up and the building will take shape. We covet your prayers in these matters to pray with us that God will lead and guide and direct in the administration of the building of our new building. In the meanwhile, here at our present location, we invite you and your family to share with us today. Remember, we're at 3309 Wilbarger Street, and today is Family Day. Bring the family and worship God as a family unit at Worth Baptist Church today. And we would like to hear from you by mail this week. Our mailing address, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141. Fort Worth, Texas. The zip code is 76119. Write today, and if you would like to have a cassette tape of today's message, it will be yours simply by writing and requesting it to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, Christ the Great Amen. I shall read two passages of Scripture, first out of the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, and then in the Revelation chapter 3. Before I read these verses for you, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Why not gather the family around the radio, and let's have a family prayer on this Family Day. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we come to Thee with grateful hearts for the privilege of voicing the truth of the gospel over this radio station today. And I pray that as it enters the homes and hearts of many hundreds of people, that the Holy Spirit would use the message to bring comfort and consolation and strength and guidance and inspiration to all who hear it in this hour. For those in the hospitals or in the rest homes, in their own private homes, or in the motel or hotel, or driving across the city in their automobile or truck, wherever they might be today, we would simply pray that this message might challenge the hearts of everyone who listens. Bless our sick and shut-in friends, and those hearts and homes across our city where death has come this week, where there are trials and heartaches and burdens and problems, and some, Heavenly Father, who are facing some crisis moments in their lives through tragedy and through trouble and trials and difficulties. We simply pray that the Holy Spirit would lift them up in this hour. Maybe someone's listening today, Heavenly Father, who's ready to end it all. May they turn by faith to Jesus Christ in this hour and trust Him and believe Thy blessed word. These things we pray and ask in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, I read beginning at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And then in the book of the Revelation, chapter 3, at verse 14, we read, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, Jesus Christ, the great Amen. Someone has said that a message should do four things to every hearer. Number one, it should stretch your mind. That is, it should instruct you. Number two, it should warm your heart. That is, inspire you. Number three, it should tan your hide. That is, correct you. And then number four, it should provoke your will, that is, challenge you to greater things. It is my prayer today that this message will do these things for every listener. I don't know your heart or your life or your location or your lifestyle or anything about you today. You are an unseen audience, but God knows and God sees, and my friend, God cares for you in this hour. Every born-again believer has a check made out in heaven, but many of us never receive payment on it because we fail to cash it at the window of prayer. Prayer is a mighty force in the world today. The late J. Edgar Hoover said that prayer is the greatest and mightiest force in the universe. Prayer is not a monologue where we do all the talking. But prayer is a dialogue where we talk to God and God talks to us. It is far better for us to hear what God has to say than for God to hear what we have to say. Prayer is not a tool which we use to order God around, like, God, you do this, or you do that, or you go here, or you go there. Oh, no. Prayer is a channel through which we get divine orders. It is through praying that we learn what God wants us to do. Jesus said men ought always to pray and faint not. Now let's look at that for a moment. If Jesus said, and He did, pray and faint not, that suggests that if you do not pray, you will become faint-hearted. You will become weary and tired and burdened and bothered with all of the problems and cares and difficulties of life. Again, I repeat, Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to become faint-hearted. What Jesus said really was this: you should pray under all conditions, regardless of the circumstances. When you are successful, you should pray lest you become selfish. You should pray when you are sorrowful, lest you become bitter. When you are discouraged, you should pray lest you become despondent. When you are angry, you should pray lest you become belligerent. In other words, when it's hardest to pray, you should pray hardest. Someone has noted, the powerhouse is always there. So push the button labeled prayer. Prayer changes things, and we might add, people. Yes, prayer will change your life. Prayer will change your lifestyle. Prayer will change your attitude, your feelings, the way you act, the way you speak. Prayer can do wonderful things for you, because when you pray, you're in touch with God, and God is in touch with you. Every time we pray, we close the prayer with the word Amen. Some 30 references are found to Amen in the Old Testament, while some 50 are found within the pages of the New. The word Amen is a word of finality. It means true. It means so be it. It means, yes, Lord, I agree, and may it be so as you say it should be. It means, yes, Lord, my time is yours. My talent is yours. My money is yours. It means, yes, Lord, I will pray because you said pray. I will visit because you said visit. I will tithe because you said tithe. I will go to church because you said go to church. I will do unto others as I would have them do unto me because you said that I should do unto others as I would have them to do to me. It means, I will turn the other cheek, Lord, because you said turn the other cheek. It means, Lord, I will go the second mile because you said go the second mile. It means, Lord, I will love mine enemies because you said I should love my enemies. Oh, my friend, when you say Amen, you are saying to God, so may it be. Here's an interesting note. In the days of Ezra, the historian and scribe of the Bible, when the man of God read the scriptures, the people who listened did two things. Number one, they stood up in reverence and honor to the word of God. And number two, they said, Amen. Oh, how we ought to revere the word of God today. There's no book like the Bible, and the Bible tells it like it is. If we pray in the manner in which Jesus taught his disciples to pray, it is somewhat like writing a letter. In school, we were taught that a letter had six parts. Number one, the name of the person to whom you're writing, Our Father. Number two, the address, which art in heaven. Number three, the greeting and the salutation. Now, the greeting and salutation depends on what you think of the person to whom you're writing. If it is a business letter, you would perhaps say, Dear Sir. If you're writing to a friend, it may be, Dear Frank. If you're writing to someone who is very special, someone whom you truly love, you might say, Dear or Dearest, and then it may take you an hour and a half to figure out what you want to call her or him, as the case might be. But nevertheless, the greeting depends on what you think of the person. Our letter of prayer is to our Heavenly Father. What do you think of Him? Jesus taught us to revere Him. Jesus said, Hallowed be thy name. His name is the great I Am. I am what I always was. I am what I ever shall be. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord shall provide. He is Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of Peace. Now, the fourth part of the letter is the body of the letter. And the body of the letter depends on the interest that you have in the person to whom you're writing. Now, when we write home, when we write to our family, naturally we have a great interest in them, and we would word the letter, the body of it, far different from a casual acquaintance or a business associate. Remember, we are writing in this analogy to God. And because of what we think of God, we say to Him, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. And after we have told God, as it were, what we think of Him, we love Him, we adore Him, we praise Him, we honor Him, we worship Him, we desire His kingdom to be done upon the earth, we desire His will to be done in our lives, then we can move on into the part of the letter that we would ask Him for what we need. Jesus said, ask God, give us this day our daily bread, our daily needs, our daily sustenance. So we ask Him for what we need. And then we come to the complimentary close of the letter. I am yours, or perhaps forever yours. We underline it sometimes. We put an exclamation point. We capitalize it. Now, we may change our minds tomorrow about that friend or that person whom we love, but we go on today and say, forever yours. My friend, could I ask you a question? Can you say to God, I am yours forever, and really mean it? Are you God's? Do you belong to Him? Is your loyalty, is your devotion given to Him today, my friend? If so, I trust that you will sit down and tell Him about it and get down on your knees and remind God, as it were, of what you have in your heart toward Him. Then comes finally the sixth part of the letter, and that's the signature. That's the amen. The letter doesn't belong to you until you sign it. So, my friend, when we write to God, as it were, in the analogy of prayer, we say to Him, Amen, so may it be. Jesus Christ is the Amen to everything God ever said. He is the Amen to God's proclamation concerning man's sin. God said, all men everywhere are sinners, and the wages of sin is death. Jesus said amen to that in John chapter 10, verse 10. I am come that they may have life and that they may have life more abundantly. Jesus said amen to that in Luke 19, 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Then, my friend, Jesus Christ proved that He really meant amen when He went to the cross to die for your sins and mine. You see, my friend, we're all sinners according to the Word of God. And Jesus Christ saying amen to God's declaration and proclamation concerning our sin, died on the cross, bearing in His body, on the tree, our sins, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. In the second place, Jesus Christ is the amen to God's proclamation concerning man's salvation. God said, salvation is a free gift to all men. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, we read, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus Christ said amen to that in John chapter 3, and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yes, Jesus said amen to what God said about you and your personal salvation. God said you could be saved. Jesus said yes, everyone that believeth can be saved. And then in the third place, Jesus Christ is the amen to God's proclamation concerning man's security. God said, man is saved forever and can never, never, never be lost. My friend, whatever God does, He does well. When God saves a soul, He saves that soul for eternity. There is no way, no earthly way, no possible way that a man who has once experienced the new birth, who has come to know Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior, has been born again, washed and redeemed and ransomed in the blood of Christ. I repeat, there is no way that he could ever be lost. God said that man is saved forever. And Jesus Christ said amen to it in John chapter 10 at verse 27, where Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My friend, Jesus Christ has said amen to the fact that salvation is eternal. Salvation is everlasting. Once in Christ forever. Nothing from His love my soul can sever. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. I have this footnote and I shall be through. God said men everywhere could come to Him regardless of color, creed, or condition. And Jesus Christ said amen to that in John 6:37. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. My friend, I trust that you will listen and believe the amen of Jesus Christ, our Lord. As we close the broadcast today, I want to remind you again that today, December 19th, 1976, is our annual family day at Worth Baptist Church. If you and your family are looking for a place to study God's Word in the Sunday school and worship God together as a family unit, we invite you to Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street, where our Sunday school begins at 10, our morning worship hour at 11, and our evening worship hour at 7. May God bless you as you plan to visit with us today. And until next Lord's Day by radio, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.